You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Did you hear what Rosenberg said?
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds. That's right. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Welcome to ENN on this very strange Tuesday, February 23rd. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Small head.
And we'll say good evening to Don.
I think you'd enjoy it if we did.
That was quite a moment earlier. Now, I do want to say ENN's going to be a little different. We are going to go straight to the Tiger Woods press conference where a representative or someone from the hospital will be giving us an update on Tiger's status. He is out of surgery, supposedly, and we'll know more, hopefully, shortly. What we do know is that early this morning, Tiger got into a car accident in Southern California. We've seen the images now of his car really looking destroyed, the front of it just absolutely crushed in. They reported earlier that he had been removed by the jaws of life. That has now been firmly denied. He was cut out. They used hand tools to cut open the car, not the jaws of life. Earlier in the day, about 2.5 hours ago, things changed, and we received the word that Tiger was no longer dealing with life-threatening injuries. However, moderate to critical injuries in his legs, and that the surgery was a procedure to affect his legs, to improve his legs in whatever way needed. Now, we do not know exactly what the nature of that surgery was, and obviously that's what we're hoping to obtain when we hear from Tiger's people. Now, some more little bits of information have come out and been reported by TMZ. Have you guys seen the story about the show Grown-ish?
No.
Supposedly, the cast and crew of Grown-ish is staying at the same hotel as Tiger Woods, and according to TMZ, one of the actors said that the director of Grown-ish said Tiger Woods was speeding out of the hotel parking lot that morning and nearly hit his car. And the director was shaken enough by the experience that he told the whole crew about it. Like, hey, I just we're going to go to the press conference live right now.
Information Bureau, thank you for coming to this press conference to discuss a traffic collision which occurred this morning involving Eldrick Tiger Woods. Joining Sheriff Villanueva is Lomita Station Captain James Powers and other members of executive command staff. Also joining us here today is LA County Fire Chief Gerald Osby. Now I would like to introduce the Sheriff of Los Angeles County, Alex Villanueva.
Thank you, Captain Mendoza. Today at 7:12 in the morning, Lomita Sheriff Station received a call of a solo vehicle collision in Hawthorne Boulevard, north of Palos Verdes Drive. We arrived on scene at 7:18 a.m. and discovered the solo vehicle collision, and the sole occupant was, again, Tiger Woods, and deputies. At the time, they did not see any evidence of impairment, anything that of concern. Obviously, the life-threatening measures that had to be taken for the occupant of the vehicle, and Chief Osby will speak to that regard. And it was a solo vehicle. Unfortunately, during the course of the investigation of this, there was another traffic collision that happened with people being looky loose. But that, thankfully, there was no injuries associated with that. The vehicle traveled several hundred feet from the center divider at the intersection and rested on the west side of the road in the brush, sustained major damage to the vehicle. You've seen all the images of that. And with that, our Lomita Sheriff Station will be conducting the traffic investigation. And it'll take from days to several weeks to get the whole thing together. Once the investigation is completed, we will provide a detailed report. It'll be available, you know, based on Public Record Act request, and we will not discuss it any further after that point. But at this point, I want to introduce Chief Darrell Osby, L.A. County Fire Department.
Good afternoon. I'm Fire Chief Darrell Osby of the Los Angeles County Fire Department. At approximately 7:22 this morning, resources from Los Angeles County Fire Station 106 received a report of a solo vehicle accident at the intersection of Hawthorne Boulevard and Palos Verdes Drive North in Rolling Hills Estates. Upon arrival of the scene of the incident with sheriffs on scene, resources and personnel from the Los Angeles County Fire Department observed a single rollover vehicle incident with one person trapped. The person trapped was extricated by the Los Angeles County Fire Department personnel. Earlier, it was stated that the jaws of life was utilized to extricate the person trapped. It was later determined by our personnel that a Halligan tube, which is used for prying, and an axe was also used to pry the person free from the vehicle. The person was packaged at the incident in stable condition with serious injuries, and because of the fact that they needed to be extricated, they were transported to Harbor UCLA Hospital because of the extrication, and Harbor Hospital is also a trauma center. As indicated earlier, there's also a second vehicle accident with no injuries. Thank you.
And the vehicle involved is a 2021 Genesis. It's a mid-size SUV. Para Española, a las 7:12 de la mañana en la calle Hawthorne, rumbo al norte.
So, you know, a couple of things that we can take from
that's
that.
That's okay. Well, that was not a lot of information, although the only thing I took away from it is that it sounds like he was stable from the very beginning. He just had serious injuries. That was the one thing he said. But I got to tell you, these press conferences sometimes all feel like people just wanted to get an opportunity to stand in front of a camera.
I know, because you don't give you any information.
The second guy repeated everything the first guy said. I obviously, we were all hoping to hear more of a medical update of Tiger.
Yeah, that's what I thought we were going to get after the surgery. That's what we need, you know, the specifics to the accident. Now, there's a second car?
Well, they, there was somebody that was, like, rubbernecking, so there was another accident.
Michael, I did not expect to hear the term looky-loo during this presser. Got to tell you, that surprised me.
Yeah, I mean, public speaking obviously is not the most important thing, but, you know, when people in the world want to know what's going on.
Well, that was not super helpful.
No.
We'll see if we get more information. Maybe they're. Let's hear. They're taking questions now. Let's hear.
Life saving efforts were performed. Can you be more specific about that?
Well, if the deputies arrive on scene, there's a vehicle that's rolled over. There's someone inside the vehicle. They can't remove them. Obviously,
okay, so
that's.
Was he unconscious or?
We'll leave it at that. He was alive and he was conscious, and. That's the extent of that.
What about the evidence of the impairment? You said there was no evidence.
There was no evidence of impairment. So subsequent to that, we're not going to make any. There was no effort to draw blood, for example, at the hospital.
Nothing was removed from the scene or found at the scene.
No evidence of impairment at this point in time. But I'll let Chief Osby.
Good morning. Was Tiger Woods conscious when you got there? Did he say anything to the paramedics who arrived? And can you tell us a little bit more, if we didn't use the jaws of life, how exactly did that extrication process take place?
Okay. The information I got back from my personnel and the things that they do is they would do a scene assessment. It was brought to my attention that he was conscious. Now, exactly what was said is unknown, but he was conscious. Our personnel make an assessment to make a determination of their level of consciousness, make sure that they're breathing, control any serious bleeding, and then control and address any serious injuries. It was brought to my attention that he had serious leg injuries, and that was assessed at the incident. The jaws of life are used as part of a package to extricate people that are trapped in vehicles. But it was later determined and brought to the attention that the jaws of life were not used to extricate Tiger Woods. We used a Halligan tool, which is a tool used for prying, and we also used an axe to pry him from the vehicle. He was taken from the vehicle with
There's one other bit of information that's pretty big, actually, and that's Tiger being conscious from the time authorities arrived on the scene.
You know, sometimes it's unfair in these situations. You know, the world wants to know about Tiger Woods, so you have all these reporters there, and the people that are answering the questions are not used to this. This is not what they do.
Maybe they should have some, but don't they have, isn't there a head of communications with the police that could kind of gather all the information, then go up and be the one who talks?
I think they do have that, but the people that were at the scene or the deputies are the ones that speak.
Yeah, no, but that one guy wasn't even there. He just said that's based on what I heard. Listen, I get it. Everyone's trying to do the best they can. During the DC sniper, which was one of the, in my opinion, one of the most underrated crazy moments of the last 50 years in this country, because I lived through it in DC. During the DC sniper situation, Police Chief Moose, he would do a press conference what felt like every 20 minutes and give no information.
Right.
It's like they feel, we didn't need a 6 o'clock update. We could have waited till 8 o'clock and had more information, but I get it. Everyone's trying to do the best job they can. It's a lot. These guys aren't used to dealing with a story this big. It's crazy. Just yesterday, Tiger Woods and Tiger this weekend, not only did he have the Genesis tournament, which is his tournament, but he was also shooting a lot of television and doing episodes where he's playing golf with celebrities. One story that's moving around right now and being reported by multiple outlets is that Tiger was on his way to play today with Drew Brees and Justin Herbert. That's what he was doing this morning when he rushed off.
The weird part of your reporting is what TMZ said. He almost ran over the guy from that show.
Yeah.
From Grownish.
Wow.
Just yesterday, Tiger was playing again on camera with Dwayne Wade, and here's Tiger and Dwayne Wade messing around on Instagram.
So I told you I was about to do something amazing today, and I got an opportunity. I say the GOAT, he's not comfortable with it, but an opportunity to come out here with this guy right here, man. Tiger, thank you for teaching me something. How good am I, or how bad am I?
Good.
I'm not good. I'm sorry for using that.
We're getting better.
We're getting better. So, everybody, be on the lookout. I got some lessons today from what I think is the GOAT, but Tiger Woods. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
You got it.
And by the way, in that video, I don't know if you guys have seen it, Tiger's just grinning from ear to ear, having a great time. Let's hear from Scott Van Pelt, who we know is a big golf guy, of course, one of the leading voices in golf on ESPN and a fan of Tiger Woods. He talked about Tiger's new role in the PGA Tour.
It's meant the world to him to be the old brother slash uncle slash whatever you want to call him. But he's the guy whose poster was on their wall that they idolized. And I can remember vividly a story that that Justin Thomas and I, he was explaining that he had gone to have a meal with Tiger, and they were hanging out watching a playoff game. And, you know, the night kind of got late where they were just talking, and he kept kind of waiting to get kicked out, I think. And he's like, I was just going to listen until he got done talking. And I said, you don't get it, man. Like, he's getting as much out of your friendship as you are from him. Think about who Woods became. Like, he's one of one. Who on the planet can even relate to the idea of being that? So few.
Wright Thompson, a senior writer for ESPN, on how it's hard to know who Tiger Woods really is.
There are still huge questions for me about what he cares about and what he doesn't care about, and what is going on, and, you know, what is real and what isn't. So, I mean, the most curious thing to me is that after all of that time, there's still parts of him that remain unknowable. I mean, I think one of the intriguing things about him is that you can sense that. You know that there is a place in Tiger Woods that he won't let you get to. That's true for me. It's true for you. That's true for people who've really been in his life.
That's how Derek Jeter is.
The screen door, you talk about that all the time.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
so true.
There's places that Derek won't let you go. And I think it served him well. That's not, your responsibility is not to know his personal life. Your responsibility is to watch him play baseball.
But it's also one of the things that actually sort of makes those athletes like that more fascinating.
Right. You know, wonder. You wonder about what goes on that we don't know.
Senior
golfer, never know.
Senior golf writer Bob Herrig on just how close Tiger was to coming back before this accident.
We've all been curious to know where he stood in relation to his possible comeback, which obviously now is way delayed. But he was 9 weeks past the procedure, and it's believed to be kind of a 2.5 to 3 month recovery. So we were sort of into that window now where he might be looking like he could be coming back. He was quite pessimistic in his interview with Jim Nance the other day, but yet he was hitting balls at that outing yesterday. He was hitting balls a couple of weeks after the surgery, not going full out, mind you, but still it was a minimally invasive surgery, one that he was walking the next day. When he was talking about not having ramped it up yet, that kind of led to some concern, like was there a setback or was he just not feeling great yet? And, you know, we're probably never going to know how close he was to getting back.
So we will find out, I guess, as the night goes on, exactly what the extent of the injuries was for Tiger and how successful the procedure was. But
right now, the most
we got to celebrate for a second the good news, right, Don? Like, he's okay. This is not life-threatening.
And, you know, what that was a very clinical description of the crash scene. Right now, what we need is the update from after his surgery and find out exactly the condition that he's in. That's the most important thing. Everything else will kind of resolve itself. Was he speeding? Was there a reason why there was an accident? Right now, we just want to know how he is. And that we'll get, I guess, from the hospital once everything is found out.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Speaking of golf, the PGA Championship plans to allow 10,000 fans per round this year, which, of course, is limited spectator capacity due to coronavirus. Mm-hmm. The state of South Carolina also coordinating with the PGA to figure things out exactly. Scheduled for May 20th through the 23rd at the Ocean Course on Kiawah Island. 10,000 fans per round doesn't sound like that few for golf.
Well, no, it's outside, and then how many, you know, they're spread out, I guess, over each hole.
That's true. Even if it's a lot of people with golf, everyone's wandering the entire course. I got to tell you, I'd feel pretty comfortable going to a golf event. Outside, walking around with a mask, not talking to random people, I'd feel pretty good about that. Might be the first thing I'd do. Now, of course, Don wouldn't go even if it was in his backyard, but
I'd enjoy the walk.
Right, but not for COVID reasons. You just wouldn't have an interest in watching the golf.
No.
Guys, there's basketball back in New York tonight.
Yeah.
At the Garden and the Knicks' Twitter handle, welcome back, fans to MSG.
No, there has been basketball
in New York. Been missing your energy. You know, they could play all the crowd noises they want in their arena, but nothing compares to having you guys in there cheering us on every night.
The energy you guys bring helps us so much, man. Whether it's a big dunk, a huge defensive stop, to feel you guys' presence, your energy, it helps us push through, man. So we want to welcome you. We want to thank you.
I mean, Knicks fans are different. They actually know basketball.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to come to the Knicks games with my dad. You always remember that.
You got 20,000 people telling you, pick your head up after missing a shot. You are right after turning the ball over. They always by your side, and that's what you need.
It felt good just to be out there and, you know, have success with no fans, but I was telling all my teammates, I know this kid's crazy. The announcer had it going with no fans, so I couldn't imagine what it's like with fans.
Thank you, Knicks fans. Thanks for being patient. We're getting back at it. It's cracking. What's good?
Welcome back, and stay tuned for the show.
Did you hear Don in the middle of that, Michael?
No.
It sounded like Don was one of the Knicks.
I think that was Thibodeau.
I believe so.
Now, I will tell
Don
you
Don Thibodeau.
That sounded that, like me, you think?
I heard Don Thibodeau there, yeah.
We got to isolate that, no?
You've got to
let me know, Anthony.
You've got to be thrilled that fans are back. But one thing that players are missing, they haven't been booed either. They don't pump in boos. They just pump in cheers. So if you turn in a game the way the Knicks turn in a game against Orlando, those 2,000 people are going to boo. So there's a give and a take. I think they'll take the boos, but they are going to hear boos. They have not heard boos all year.
I guess that does make it a little different than wrestling. Wrestling, they give you the boos as well.
Oh, they do?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound exactly like that. Actually, that's what they use. That was the only one they could.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Best they could find. Now, guys, this is interesting.
What?
The Rockets are going to waive DeMarcus Cousins.
Mm.
He doesn't feel like being a backup for a team that is going nowhere. He's averaging 9.6 points, 7.6 rebounds in 25 games. Guys, can you think of any
Lakers
contenders out there who could maybe use someone to grab 8 boards a game and score 10?
I think he's headed to the Lakers. The Nets could use him, too, but I think he's going to head to the Lakers.
But didn't we already try that?
Well, he got hurt, though.
See, do you...
He was on the team. He got hurt.
That's so 2018.
It was last year he got hurt.
But I have a question. So did they save money to let go? Would they be saving money to let him go and then bring him back?
Well, you get him for nothing now. I mean, the Rockets, if they waive him, they pay the salary, and you have to pay the minimum.
If you're the Nets, you make a play for him as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, I got to give credit where credit is due. Do you see that tremendous putback the other night by DeAndre?
Oh, tremendous.
Basically won the game for them. I'm not going to call it an ill-advised shot by Kyrie, but considering who's on the floor, a force from Kyrie and then a great putback by Jordan.
But, really? You're going to complain about the Nets who've won 6 in a row? That's what you're doing?
Wow. It sounds a little nitpicky, a little picky-oon.
Wow. You probably don't like Cindy Crawford's mole.
Well, I wasn't a big Crawford fan, but... I was always an Ireland guy myself.
Yeah.
You've heard the story about me, right?
I've only heard it like 30 or 40 times.
Well,
though,
you know what? We have new listeners all the time. We have a huge audience.
Even if they're a new audience, who if they popped in 15 minutes ago, they've heard the story.
All right, then I won't tell it.
Wow. No, I want you to.
No. I don't like his attitude, Don.
All right, here's the story. Michael was on a flight. Cindy Crawford sat right next to him.
New York to L.A.
And he sat next to her for 5 hours and didn't talk to her. Good story, right?
Not a word. Didn't want to.
Don, did I miss anything?
No, that's the story.
The real story is I didn't want to give her the satisfaction because she's probably been fawned over her entire life. So this big, fat, sweaty guy next to her didn't even look at her.
I love that you say that proudly, as if halfway through she was like, "Excuse me, fat, sweaty man. I can't help but notice you haven't spoken to me. Do you want to go in the bathroom and join the Mile High Club?"
No.
I think you'd enjoy it if we did.
Here's the deal. She didn't say a word.
Right.
I guarantee she thought it. How is it that in 5 hours this guy has not said a word to me?
He wanted it to end up like Joey Salvia's flight from New York to Puerto Rico for that ESPN event we went to.
But it didn't end up that way.
No, it didn't end up like that at all. Like, I glance over and Joey's having a conversation with a woman. I glance over 5 minutes later and...
It's like mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
Wait, it was just a woman on the plane?
Yeah, just a random woman on the plane. And about a half hour into the flight, it was...
That's Kevorka,
that guy earlier wanted to do with Don.
Exactly. Right. That's Kevorka, by the way. Because I'll say it right now. You know, there are different levels. You know, I admit it right now, guys. If this is a baseball team... No one's saying, you know what we should do is let's give Rosenberg the first inning. Let him open up this game. I'm not an opener.
Right.
I don't even, you know what? I'm not even a closer.
No,
I'm middle
relief.
You're a middle
guy. You're coming in a mop-up role.
Right. It's 7-1 Blue Jays, and you just don't want to waste anyone else.
Right. You want
Bring
somebody
me
to
in.
Eat innings. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm there to eat innings.
Yeah,
no problem.
Peter's going to lead the league in holds.
But the idea... I really think of all the impressive openings, making out with a stranger on a plane is really high level stuff. Could someone get Joey on the phone? I think we need to do a phone.
And this is New York to Puerto Rico. This is like a 2-hour and 15-minute flight.
Yeah, there was a lot going on.
This is not like New York to Australia where it could just happen out of sheer boredom. I have to report
you
bring
a
newspaper with you, you're good. It's not that long a flight.
Ballard has weighed in on this subject. Ballard says, and I quote, Ballard. Now he told me he doesn't want me to tell it.
Right,
I'm not going to do it. I don't want because Michael gets so mean sometimes that I think at this point he's kind of had enough of, like, I throw out the story to have some good fun, and then it ends with Michael destroying his good name and what went from good family fun to
something.
Well,
I mean,
really
but okay, if that was the case, he would have just started it. I didn't say a word about this guy.
Forward it to me. I'd like to know.
He just texted something that was disparaging to me. So
no,
I'm supposed to sit here like a pinata and not take a shot at him.
No, that's not what it was at all. It was actually all right. He wrote, "Fine, tell it." Okay, fine. And hopefully Michael would show some tact here, but he won't. And Don, this isn't an insult to Michael. It's a Ballard story. Ballard said, and I quote, Heidi Klum smiled at me in a Barnes & Noble. Next sentence. It was 100% a flirty smile. Ballard.
I can see that.
That's so positive. Michael, really?
She probably loves the smell of cheese.
Oh. Is that a Packers joke or a fat guy joke?
Whichever way you want to take it, baby.
Kind of like one goes with the other, I guess.
By the way, I got to tell you, I believe Ballard on most stories. I don't know if I believe 100% flirty smile from Heidi Klum. How about friendly
smile? Yeah,
because
you can actually see Heidi going from Seal to Ballard. Sure, it's normal. It's a natural evolution.
But women don't look at things like that.
It's true.
Michael.
I mean, by the way, Seal's an interesting-looking cat, too. Last time I checked, he doesn't look like everybody.
No, he doesn't.
So, I mean, Ballard doesn't look like everybody either. He's a special guy.
He is. I love him.
Now, it's not as good as your story with...
Cindy.
No. Alyssa Milano.
No, that story.
By the way.
Wow.
Speaking of which, you know who's back
speaking of confidence, Peter...
But he didn't. But nothing happened.
Yeah,
oh wait,
you know what? It wasn't for lack of trying.
But wait, hold on. Was it that he leaned in and kissed her on the lips?
Yes.
No. She leaned in and kissed me on.
No,
the
that's
lips.
Not how I.
Yes,
I saw a very aggressive Michael was going to get
lived
something.
It. You're wrong.
I lived it.
I lived. I
we
lived
all
closer.
Shook her hand, Peter, and Michael went in for the kiss. Why would she single Michael out to kiss and not a? She shook all of our hands. She kissed Michael. Who do you think the aggressor was? Her.
Well, you shouldn't even tell the story this way, because before you know it, in 6 months, she's going to write a letter to a magazine, and Michael's finished.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
This night has haunted me for 25 years.
It wasn't inappropriate. She was receptive.
Right.
It was just he went in for the kiss, which I thought was a little, like, confident. It wasn't even aggressive. It was just confidence, knowing that he was Michael Kay, and this was going to be received well. I'm not taking that chance. But if I were, she'd enjoy it.
There was one night where I was having a what felt like a flirtatious conversation with Megan Good, and Laura Stiles just would not stop talking to me. It was like it was like a movie. Every time Laura came up to say hello, I turned around. I was like, "Hello, Laura, good to see you again." And she was like, "Petey," she was like in the middle of partying. We were having a good night. She was a little tipsy. She's like, "Petey, what are you doing?" I was like, "I'm talking to Megan Good." Now, I know neither of you know who she is, but you should Google it.
By the way, I just want to...
I don't know how you continue to have a relationship with her.
Laura tweeted out a picture of her newborn. Beautiful baby.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, beautiful baby.
I mean, baby Kenza is as cute a child. And I got to tell you, I want to give credit here where credit is due. No one I know goes with a normal name anymore. Like, no one just names. Everyone's cute with their names. You have to be cute. And Laura Stiles is such a perfect person that she somehow went cutesy with her name and nailed it. It's just an awesome name. Kenzie is a nickname. It's different. I don't know any other Kenzas, but yet it doesn't annoy me. Like, I'm not saying something, you know, she's not named like Staten Island. There's something truly cute. But yet unconventional about the name.
Now, the sheriff at the scene of the Tiger Woods accident was quoted saying he was wearing a seatbelt. That stretch of roadway is a hot spot for traffic accidents. It greatly increased the chances that it saved his life.
Mm.
Well, I mean, you guys saw the car. Is there any chance he survives that without a seatbelt? It's impossible to picture.
Yeah, he's probably thrown from it if he doesn't have a seatbelt.
So I'll move on since we're basically just telling a story about trying to make out with celebrities. Let's move forward to an Alex Smith story that's interesting from GQ. Alex has been, you know, open about his story and his return, and of course lauded for it, comeback player of the year. But he'd never mentioned this prior to this interview. Talking about the Washington football team, Alex said, "When I decided to come back, I definitely threw a wrench into the team's plan. They didn't see it, didn't want me there, didn't want me to be a part of it, didn't want me to be on the team, the roster, didn't want to give me a chance. Mind you, it was a whole new regime. They came in, I'm like the leftovers, and I'm hurt, and I'm this liability. Heck no, they didn't want me there. At that point, as you can imagine, everything I'd been through, I couldn't have cared less about all that. Whether you like it or not, I'm giving it a go at this point." Wow. Hmm. But by the way, I sort of understand where Ron Rivera would be too. Like, we can't count on that we have an incredibly injured but once really good quarterback in our locker room. What does that really do for you when you're trying to figure out how to move forward?
No, I don't know why he would bring that up, because you're right. It's kind of understandable. As much as you want to make it work, the chances of it working were tough. But he went through so much, you don't want to be the one not to play him. I that's not the Washington football team story I thought you were going to go with, any in it.
Oh, there's another one?
Oh, there's rumors, Michael. Did you hear these rumors?
I have not. Tell me.
Are you familiar with the work of Jeff Bezos?
Oh, I did see this yesterday. Yeah, I just didn't know the validity of it.
Yeah, I don't know the validity either, but there's a lot of rumblings. He wants your team, Peter. He wants to purchase the Washington football team.
There's no way Snyder sells it, ever.
Fox 5 DC, Jeff Bezos reportedly linked to Washington football team as majority owner.
No way. You know Snyder. I tried to give him cookies. He's never selling that team.
Hold on.
It's the thing that makes him important.
Cookies.
But isn't there a number where you have to just say, okay.
I mean, is he a billionaire? Is he a billionaire?
Yeah, but barely.
Okay. I mean, really? You're going to give away your greatest toy for another couple of billion? So he sells it for $5 billion. Well, how does that change his life? He's still short.
And you think that's what the core of this is? Could be. You
know, he's now number one. Did you see that?
Yeah, he moved ahead of...
Musk lost like $54 billion yesterday.
By dabbling in Bitcoin.
Oh, I got to tell you, I hate
knocked
days
him out of the top spot.
Don't you hate days like that, Don?
That's a tough one, you know? That's the equivalent of me losing an ice pick.
Sometimes I wish you'd just shut up and let me get to the joke about you. I wanted to say, you know, that's the equivalent of when Don loses $25 on a Penguins-Canadians game. You know what it's like. It hurts.
That's not even an exaggeration at all.
No, I know. And that's about the number.
$54 billion is ashtray money.
That's right.
Although they don't have ashtrays in cars anymore.
No. But I'm sure
they do.
If he wants one
in a car,
it's there.
Ashtray. Yeah, my car has an ashtray.
Don't you think, though, Bezos would simply have the power to muscle him out somehow?
Really? So he could buy whatever he wants. Like, if he came up to Hal Steinberg, he'd muscle him out of the Yankees? Come on. What a ridiculous statement, muscle him out.
People know things. People have connections.
I'll play along.
Hold on. Before you just toss me out the window like I'm some yo-yo. I don't know if you've heard recently, some not-so-great and savory stories going on around Dan Snyder. Think there's any more of them? Think Jeff Bezos could be connected enough to people to find him?
Well, he's got investigative reporters at the Washington Post, yeah.
So, I don't know. He's in a different position than some other people.
So you're saying, in your little sick little Batman type of Gotham world, he's going to get all of these terrible things on Snyder, hold them in abeyance, go to Snyder and go, "I'm going to give you $5 billion for your team, and if you don't, these things are going to be printed." That seems a little underhanded, Batman.
Well, doesn't make it less true.
I'm not saying
who's going to do the deal, J.R. Ewing? I mean, what's going to go on?
Listen, I'm not saying it's right, Michael, but I'm saying I need Snyder out. That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday, February 23rd.
Wow. That was enjoyable.
Thank you, something else. Started out with a very unimpressive press conference and got better. 1-800-919-3776. We'll talk about it with you and right up until Nick pregame show at 7 right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.